All right, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Business Blast podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Wagner. As always, today's sponsor is Authors Unite. And if you want to become a successful author, Authors Unite is the place to go. So head on over to authorsunite.com to check out a free case study that'll teach you how to do exactly that. And now let's jump into the episode. All right, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Business Blast podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Wagner. Really excited for today's guest. We have Tara Malik with us. Welcome to the show.
Hi. So glad to be here, Tyler.
Of course. Grateful to have you on. So to kick us off, just tell us a little bit more about you so our audience knows who we're talking to here.
Well, since we're speaking to the expert for authors, which is you, I'm going to start with my new book and then go backwards. My new book is, it was just published in April 2019, and it's A Working Mother's GPS, A Guide to Parenting Success for the Modern Working Mom. And this is a culmination, I can say, of my life's work, because being a working mother of six children for the past almost 40 years, and struggling with feeling, you know, the usual or the unusual and extreme and intensive mommy guilt that no matter where I am or where I was, whether it was at work, I always felt guilty I wasn't home with the kids, or if I was busy at home, I felt I was neglecting my profession. I decided that I needed to find a way to be able to invest in my career, which I truly enjoy and love, and yet have the success of raising children I could be proud of, who love me and who are happy. And this is what the book is all about.
Got it. Okay. So, wow, six children. That is incredible. That's amazing. That's superwoman right there. So, tell me, how did you find the balance? I don't want to like give away the whole book, but like how did you, or was there something that like you like came to some realization, or what was it that enabled you to find the balance?
Well, the truth is it's yes and no. Yes, I came to a realization, and no, there is no balance. So let me explain.
Okay.
I was feeling frustrated, overwhelmed, and even more so. The moment I had an epiphany was the evening, and this is in my book, the evening I was invited to speak to hundreds of working moms as a keynote speaker. Everybody saw me, you know, as supermom, having my private practice and raising all these children and you know, doing my academic studies and, you know, being at spin at 5 a.m. and like just checking off all the boxes. And right before I was supposed to leave to that specific lecture, my youngest, who was then 4, plunked himself down in front of the front door, refused to let me leave, and just kept crying, "Mommy, don't go, don't go." I will spare you the details of how I got out of the house then, but I can tell you that on the way there, I actually had tears in my eyes, and I told myself that this is not what I wanted in my life. And the feeling I had when I stood on stage, you know, and I received the standing ovation, was that I was a fraud and a failure. Because here I was with all these women thinking that there's work-life balance, and the truth is, there isn't. There is no such thing as balance. Wherever we are, we need to give 100% of ourselves. And the myth that there is balance, I think, is the greatest disservice to any working parent, not only working mom, because most of us can't achieve it because it's impossible. And then we blame ourselves or our children. And this book is a result of me trying to find a way of how to be totally present at work as well as at home.
Got it. Okay. So it's kind of like, in a sense, it's kind of coming to or accepting the fact that there is no balance. Is that kind of what it is?
That's the beginning, Tyler. You always are on point, but then that's just the beginning. Because I'll tell you what I did and how, you know, if you Google, and I kid you not, if you Google Amazon, I have a screenshot of this on my online program. I Googled on Amazon parenting books, and it came out to over 200,000 books. And I asked myself, what is the book I'm going to write going to have that's different? So I'm not going to bore you with all the details. I will focus on one which is important to business women, business people. And that is that every single skill that I use in my parenting method that's described in the book is equally as effective when applied and implemented in the workplace. You know, most parenting books, and I understand this, is, you know, how to get your kids to eat your, you know, their vegetables when they don't want to, and how to potty train them, and what to do in their sibling rivalry, which is all important. But that does not help us, you know, succeed and ace it and rock in the workplace. But the way I created this method, which is, by the way, based on the three colors of the traffic light, the green, the red, and the yellow, that's why I call it GPS. Like, you build a roadmap and a work map using the traffic light colors. Every single solitary skill, tactic, strategy, suggestion is not only as equally effective at work. At the end of every chapter, there are specific examples of how to use what you just learned at work, which really gives a sense of connectedness and calm, Tyler. You know why? Because then when we're at work and we're using it, we're practicing to be better moms or better parents at home. And when we're at home over a long weekend, or, you know, this summer vacation that we're, you know, facing right now, when we use these tips and techniques, when we get back to work, we're that much more accomplished and competent. What do you say to that?
Got it. I love it. Well, I think it's great, because then I think that kind of helps remove the guilt, you know, like, that's kind of, in a sense, the point. So it's like, you have to accept the fact that there is no balance. And then after that's accepted, realize that kind of the rules or systems apply in both roles as a mother and a working individual. So when you are at the office and working, you don't have to feel guilty, because you're also bettering your mothering skills as well, right? Am I getting it?
Tyler, I could not have said it better. And would you like an example of something that your audience can use and apply in both places?
Yep, you read my mind. That was actually going to be my next question.
I think that you deserve that, because really, you know, I'm taking notes, and I could not have put it more succinctly in one sentence. Really, kudos. Really appreciate it. So here's the thing. Usually, okay, it goes like this. I use the green love go. That's what I call it, like this. Green love go, red authority no, and yellow trust slow. Because I truly believe, from experience and trial and failure, that we need all three components of love, trust, and authority to be able to succeed. For the workplace, and I know, you know, being politically correct, I do not say love. I substitute it for positive communication. You know, why don't I don't want to get into problems there. So I am actually going to give you a skill, share a skill from the red. I usually do the green. I've been interviewed many times, and I want to, you know, change it up a little bit. I'm going to use the red, which is authority. Okay. Mm-hmm. And at home, I'm going to give an example of at home and at work. One of the things that, you know, we need to do is to clarify what we can do and what we can't do, which is boundaries. And that way, there aren't expectations and negotiations at home. So I'm going to start with the home. Let's say a child asks a mom, you know, can you pick me up from piano practice today? Okay. And now here we are, feeling guilty that you're staying late at work, or you can't do it, or you're busy and you're feeling awful. When you put the boundaries in, and I'll give you a perfect example, you do not feel the guilt. And also, you do not invite negotiations and whining and why not and what you can. I call this skill, and then I'll give an example in the workplace. I'll call this skill, I can't, I can, I can't. And it's very simple formula. It's, you tell your son, I can't pick you up from piano practice today, but I can take you tomorrow morning to whatever he has, your math teacher, and we can have ice cream on the way home, but I can't take you today. Thing is, with people, you need to be clear. Nobody likes to hear the word no. But when you make a sandwich of clarifying first what you can't, and then what you can, and then again, just repeat what you can't, so they shouldn't say, but could you, would you? It is succinct, it is clear, it is empowering, and it's connecting, because you put in I can over there, okay? Yeah. Let's say you have a worker who comes and asks for a raise. Mm-hmm. Okay, I wanted to hear first your response, then I'll go to the workplace.
Oh, no, I absolutely love, well, and I think it's actually, especially with kids too, right? Because I don't have kids, but if I had to guess, right, like it's probably a little more difficult to get through to them than an adult. So if you sandwich it like that, then they know you can't do it because you said it twice. And then in the middle, they have something to look forward to that you can do. So maybe there's no bickering. It just kind of ends there, which is absolutely brilliant. So I love it.
Okay, great. So you see, now you have something you all prepared. Yeah. And here is where we can use it. Let's say, I'll use an example with an employee who comes and asks for a raise. Okay. And maybe you feel either that economically it's not wise or that they didn't yet earn it in the workplace. So here's how we use the same exact skill. That's what I love about this. I'm serious, because as I said, and as you said, we practice it here and become more confident and competent, you know, in the workplace, or, you know, vice versa, in the workplace and then at home. So I say, let's say, okay, Miranda, so I heard you. I can't or won't be able to. It doesn't matter. You can use a can't or won't be able to. I won't be able to give you the raise this, you know, quarter, but I can, and here you can decide, you fill it in. I can give you an advance on the end of the year bonus, or I can give you another two accounts so that you can earn commission from them. I love flexibility. I love choice. You fill in the blanks. You decide what you can do. And then you finish it with, although I won't be able to give the raise, I think that the bonus slash, you know, the advance slash commission should do, you know, enough to help you during the next few months.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, this is a very good strategy, and it does work in both places. So I want to go, all right, I have another question for you that just popped in my head, and I'm not sure where this is going to go, but I'm excited because the unknown is fun. So what I think, and I could be wrong because I am a man, I'm not a woman, so I don't know, but I think that there might be a lot of mothers out there that are stay-at-home mothers that desire to work as well, whether it's entrepreneur or have a job. And then I also think vice versa, there's a lot of women out there that are working a full-time job but also desire to be mothers. So do you have any advice or tips for like either, you know, either one or both on how they can kind of transition and have both at the same time, you know?
Wow. This is an awesome question. I love when you go with the unknown because it takes us to very important places. So in the preface to my book, and I also speak about this in my online course, I do speak about mothers who are planning to go and enter the workplace, like you said, and they're even, you know what, they're even moms who want to work at home. And today with Skype and, you know, with long distance, all kinds of options in our age of technology and information. And by the way, how about talking about people who want to write books, and that's your expertise, to become authors. And a lot of that work is done at home or in the libraries, you know, or whatever the thing is. I definitely have three messages, which I want to share, but I love your other question, which is original. And nobody asked me this until now. And that is about women in the workplace who are considering becoming moms. Everyone until now asked me about moms, you know, transitioning to the workplace or opening their own business, or even what I think about moms working, you know, having a home office. But you are the first, so drum roll, who asked me about, you know, professional women who are thinking about becoming moms. And here is what I'd like to say, because I was working before I became a mom, and I've gone through all the possibilities. I worked at home. I had a home office. I worked out of the house. I still do. You know, I've been there and done that, which I think is one of my greatest assets, because it's not only my clinical practice or my academic background, but, you know, raising children and living this struggle has made me confident, because, you know, I failed and fallen and struggled more than anybody, you know, that I know. So it's, you know, real life experience. So here are my messages to those who are considering either or, you know, going to the workplace or coming from a position in the workplace and considering having children. So here's my message. The first one is, if you give up, and we said this a little, but let me clarify it. If you give up the myth, the fantasy the idea of work-life balance and you don't spend the next 10, 20 years of your life wasted killing yourself trying to reach something and achieve something that's impossible, and you set realistic goals for yourself, your happiness level and your achievement quota will rise unbelievably. So become realistic and know what you're going towards. That's A. Having your expectations match the reality. It's a relief, by the way, Tyler. The second thing is that if you have the skills and the confidence, you will be able to achieve happiness, success in both arenas simultaneously. So ask yourself this: what skills am I missing? What skills do I need? What do I need to learn? What practice do I need to have so that I can feel competent and confident? And of course, as an aside, I'll tell you that my book, my method, and my online program give you all that, right? That's a no-brainer. And the third thing is, don't forget that whether you identify yourself first as a mom or as a working person or as a businesswoman or whatever it is, don't lose sight of the fact that life has many parts and many facets. I think one of the mistakes I made when I was younger was I was hyper-focused on being a mom and a therapist or and a businesswoman, and I left and neglected so many other parts, Tyler. You know, we are sisters and daughters and neighbors and friends, and we were so much more. We belong to communities and countries. There are causes out there. We have hobbies. We have pastimes. We have things that we want to accomplish on a personal level, on a spiritual level, on an emotional level. Don't let that go, because the more we give ourselves emotional, spiritual, and personal oxygen, the more we will have to give those around us at work and at home. So those are my messages.
Ah, that is so true. And that's actually been something I've been kind of working on myself, is I love my work. So I get lost in it, but sometimes I'll find myself going like months at a time where I like haven't hit up my friends, or I haven't, like, and I'm like, oh my gosh, all I've done is work for 3 months. So it's like having that balance, and it actually, like, it's, they all fuel each other. And it's interesting, right? Because we're saying there's no balance in the sense of like work and motherhood. You need to accept that. But in life, I think it's, maybe it's not something you calculate, but it is rather something that needs to be there. Like, I've realized with myself that when I don't go, or when I go so long without interacting with a lot of people and I'm just like focused on working because I work from home, that I can feel something's missing. Like, I need that interaction.
Exactly. Exactly what I was talking about.
Yeah. So it's not even like a want. It's literally a necessity. So, and sometimes our minds can trick us and think like, oh, I don't need that. I'm just going to work. And then it's like, no, your body's telling you something. You're going to have to.
Yep, Tyler, it's your body, your heart, your soul, your everything. Yep.
So I have another question for you. So with the book, can you tell us like one of your favorites? Because I love stories. I know everybody loves to hear a good story. So can you tell us like one of your favorite stories that has a lesson tied to it from your book?
Yes. So I do want to explain that, you know, it's not a fiction story book. It's a parenting method book. And I do use stories mostly from my own children because that's my working laboratory, just to tell your audience that they can get a free download of over 60 pages on my website, themommyguiltexpert.com. If they press sneak peek, they can download over 60 pages. And I think the story is in those pages. But here's what I love. And I put it in green, which is how I begin. This is a true story. Years and years ago, date myself? Yeah, this is over 35 years ago. I had two children then. My oldest is a daughter. She was 3 years old. And my son was then like a year and a half, 18 months old. And I felt that I was such a great mother. Here I was home with the kids. And every bedtime after they were fed, bathed, teeth brushed, I would sit near them and read them part of a story. I wanted to advance their vocabulary. I wanted them to go to sleep, you know, not when they were roughhousing before. And sort of, I figured this was great. One day, Everything's perfect. I'm sitting down to read them the story, waiting for them to get to bed so I could start my evening. And they begin crying. Why? They both decided that they need to sit on my right side. Now, I only have one right side, and I wanted to be the wise, you know, word of wisdom. So I told them, you know what? Let's take turns. One of you is going to sit on my right side for the first 5 minutes, and then the other one's going to sit for the next 5 minutes. Don't you think that's brilliant, Tyler? Well, I did. Well, they didn't accept it because now they started to fight on who's going to be the first one to sit on my right side. Well, I had had it, end of a long day, and I told them, I'm going to the kitchen to make a cup of coffee. And when I come back, if you don't figure out what you're going to agree to and get along, there's not going to be any story. You're going to bed without a story. And I'm going to start my evening earlier. And I was positive because I had given other suggestions that they should take turns and that I'll sit, you know, facing them and they'll sit together. So nobody sits on my right side. I thought I figured everything out. Well, I came back with my cup of coffee, and would you believe it? Surprise, surprise, they had figured it out. My daughter was sitting on the couch where my right side would be, and on her lap was my son. And they both ended up sitting on my right side for the entire time in a manner that I had not thought of. They didn't have to take turns. They didn't have to fight who's first, who's second. I didn't have to sit opposite them, showing them the pictures with no one on my sides. And you know what that did to me? That was humbling, because that taught me that our children, and many times our coworkers and our staff and our teams, have the brilliance to be able to find a solution that we did not come up with, and that we need to trust them and give them a chance and allow them to brainstorm.
Yeah. Wow. That's actually... it's like so simple, but it's like huge, actually. Like, I love that story. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't think of that either. That's a brilliant thing. Both of them on your left. Oh, sorry. It's like, that's really, it makes complete sense, you know? And sometimes it is the simplest things that we overlook in this world. So, wow. So, listen, thanks for coming on. Really, the last one, and you did mention it earlier, but I know our audience would like to know. And so two things. One, where can they connect with you socially? So what's like the best platform for them to connect with you with? And then second, where can they learn more about your practice and then your book as well? Where's the best place for that?
I thank you for that question. So socially, I'm on LinkedIn and Facebook. My name is Atara Malach, A-T-A-R-A-M-A-L-A-C-H. They can do that. Again, my website is themommyguiltexpert.com. It's also ataramalach.com, but it's just easier to remember that. And there they get two free gifts. One of them, as I said, is a sneak peek of my book, which is also sold on Amazon. And the other one is another free gift. And you know what? I'll add something special for your audience, the speakers, the consultants, and the authors, because I was invited to be a guest by you. And I've loved this interview and your questions. Just, it's been an experience. They can also go to www.specialpodcastbonus.com and get something about what we're speaking about. There, I wrote something about how to turn mommy guilt into a roadmap for parenting. And they can use everything there to enhance the workplace experience too.
Nice. All right. Well, thank you again for coming on.